Tonight is about each other. Tonight is about relentless football. And if they're about to touch the football, they get knocked out tonight. Let's do what we do best on three. One, two, three.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Ravens Nation. It's a brand new edition of The Call. I don't know how you're listening to us, where, what website, what app, anything, but thank you for tuning in on this week. What a week it's been. I mean, this has just been a whirlwind, and for us, it's only Tuesday. Gotta welcome in my buddy Josh. What's going on, man?
Hey, man. Hey, Ravens Nation, ladies and gentlemen, listeners, and Brandon, what's going on?
It's been crazy, dude. What a week already. It's been 2 days into the work week, and it's already an insane time. Let's talk about the big news right now. Baltimore's favorite scapegoat, Cam Cameron, he's gone. Gone.
He's gone? What?
Completely.
I mean, we can't complain no more? You gotta be kidding me.
Baltimore's been known to not like Cam Cameron and being very vocal about that. But I gotta ask you... personally, what's your feelings on this firing?
My feelings are mixed because obviously we knew this was a long time coming. I would say about 2 or 3 years in the making. We can see the progression. I know with Flacco, we can even go 2 years ago when Jim Zorn was here. I'm going to reach back in the bucket and pull that out of that. And basically, it goes back to that where Flacco was very outspoken on the release of Jim Zorn when he was the quarterback's coach and he had a good relationship. And I can kind of see, again, fans, this wasn't Flacco orchestrated. It wasn't like that. But it more or less, it was a continuity of the offense. More or less, Cam was just losing the offense. And his play calling was original. It was conservative. I've even heard some of the defensive players this week were, and Bruno Appello went on record and said he'd be lying if he said he was surprised. He wasn't surprised. And even that's coming from the defensive side of the football, where that's where we're thinking right now. So, and my feelings are mixed, too, because the Ravens don't usually normally do this mid-season. They usually wait till after the season to make a drastic move in the coaching change or player personnel. And actually, it was just, wow. I guess we need to shake things up. I get, and again, we're spoiled as Ravens fans. If you look, I wouldn't really call it spoiled, but really, from the outside looking in, you would call it spoiled because we're not used to this. And I heard from outside fans, when the Ravens do bad, all we do is whine and we complain instead of taking it on the chin and go, okay, we need to pick it up like the Ravens players echo. The fans just lose their minds and think we need to just clean house and bring everybody back from Cobble or whoever. But I think it's a breath of fresh air. Obviously, there's a lot to blame the pass around. When Sunday's loss, again, it was a... I still can't believe we lost that game. I hate to say this on record, but as much as I hate the Steelers, this loss against the Redskins is more unbelievable because it was an epic collapse. They had the lead 8 points with half the fourth quarter left to go, and they still lost the game. They let a hurt rookie go, and then another rookie just... Wow, and with the shaking of Cam Cameron on the offense, I think it's what the offense needs. There are some situationals where I thought it was more vanilla, and he could have created more movement and more this and that, and obviously not using Rice in the end of the Pittsburgh game kind of was one of the deciding factors of letting Cameron go. And I know it was hard for Harbaugh, and I'm very shocked, but again, you know, that I'm only shocked in the fact that they've done it mid-season, especially at this point when we're 3 weeks left in the season and we're a team going on the playoff runs. You look at the teams making changes again, Brandon Harbaugh out in San Francisco's brother, you know, making the quarterback change. You don't really normally see playoff contending teams making changes. Obviously, look at the Eagles. They made their coordinator changes in mid-season, but they were in the midst of an eight-game losing streak or something like that. They're off the rails. So you figure their last place, they need to make changes. Well, the Ravens are trying to lock up a playoff spot in a division right now. So it kind of could go good and it could kind of go bad. So I'm very interested and very, very going to be intrigued to watch Sunday, especially how it unfolds with the offense.
It's something that I really wasn't expecting this to come now. this was, you know, two losses back-to-back. I don't know if the Ravens just have such high standards that two losses back-to-back, you know, that's we don't do that here. But it was weird because that game felt like it wasn't the offense that lost it for us, even though let me rephrase that. It doesn't seem like the offense really lost that game for us at the beginning, because that first half the offense was on. I mean, I was at the game, and that, you know, the first play from the Redskins, you know, getting it down the field and getting that touchdown, the place went crazy. But Flacco answered him right back and completely, you know, said, "Whatever you can do, I can do even better, rookie." And he had that kind of attitude on him. But at the second half, there was no offense. They were just gone. I think because that's maybe like a recurring thing for them. This particular game, I don't think, was completely offense, because we did have Terrell Suggs and we did have Ray Lewis out against this QB, rookie QB. But we did have great guys like Nada and Kruger there to really push him and make him run or to sack him. But again, there were holes all over the defense. We'll get into that a little bit later. We'll talk a little bit about the game. But the defense really... It was not a good performance by anybody on that team. But I think the biggest thing is that the fact that the offense can't close, and the fact that they let the score run up like they did in the second half, that the offense barely even got on the scoreboard after halftime. And this is something that goes back for a while now. Look at the playoff game against the Steelers. What was that, 2 years ago, when the Ravens looked like a shoo-in at the half? It looked like the Steelers are going to be done, and then the Steelers come back from behind, and in the second half, the Ravens just kind of like phoned it in. I'm thinking, because of Cameron's play calling in these type of situations where the offense does great in the first half and then cools down and just completely shuts down by the end of the fourth. And that's something that Cameron, I think, has been calling for a couple of years now. So I think that type of play calling has really hindered the team in not being able to play a full game, playing a half a game.
You bring up a good point, especially, like, it's almost like he's hindering the offense from being capable of what they could be doing. You look at the great offenses and their coordinators. It's like they give and take. The coordinator has little control, but then he lets the offense do what they want, kind of, you know, as far as Brady and Manning, the stature of quarterback they are, and orchestrating their offenses. Even I even see Matt Ryan's able to call the audibles, and I've seen him making the adjustments, and maybe that's a part hand-in-hand, not only Cameron's fault, but the maturation of Flacco, where that one of his two biggest flaws, and I'm going to point these out this week because I've seen both of them, he doesn't read, I don't think he reads defenses. And when you look at the successful quarterbacks in the NFL, Peyton Manning, we'll see it Sunday, he plays that chess match. He comes to the line, he sees what the defense gives him, and he makes adjustments. So he sticks with the call, or he changes it depending on what it is. Football is a chess match. I'm learning this not only in real life, but, you know, to scale down on the video game side, when I play Madden sometimes, we learn that it's a chess match just in the video game. You know, you call a play, and if you call a sweep right, if the defense is stacked that side, you're going to more or less get stopped because all the players are stacked there. See, it's almost like a guessing game, and I think with Flacco, I've seen it. There was an imbalance in the line, and look what happened. The guy came unblocked, and I don't know if it's an offensive line issue where these guys aren't communicating. And another thing is, Flacco's pocket awareness, and again, we touched on this time and time again throughout the season, is it a communication of where the line's got to yell, hey, you know, behind, like, I'm a basketball player, I've been playing basketball since I was 9, Brandon, and let me tell you this, the key to a successful team on the court is communication, where we're yelling, pick left, pick right, not to get away from the football aspect, but I'm trying to get the point across here that it's about effective communication. Granted, sometimes the road is loud versus home where we can communicate, but you have to communicate. I don't know how loud it is in the huddle. I've never been on a football field, let alone played in an opposing stadium. But we have to look at that under a microscope and go, okay, we're going to find out if it's Caldwell or if it's going to be Flacco. Now Flacco's going to be a scapegoat because if we play bad as an offense, it flows through number five. So we're going to this is going to be very interesting to see, was it really Cam or was it Flacco? But obviously we let Cam go, so we believe in Joe Flacco right now, and it's his contract year, and I just really hope that this is what the spark and the jolt the offense need, because a lot of the players have been outspoken in the past weeks and putting jabs there and, you know, Flacco and Rice saying, go talk to Cam. He's the guy with the game plan, and they're just out trying to execute it. But there just needs to be a better continuity on the offense and then the defensive side of football. With the injuries, it's kind of hard to really get on DMPs on the defensive side because he has so many injuries. Yeah, if we had Webb at full strength, you know, I mean, Reed's not hurt, so we have Webb and Reed back there. If we have Ray full strength and Suggs at full strength, and they're letting these guys play like that, then I can see Pease being a scapegoat. But for right now, I'm going to give the defense the benefit of the doubt because the offense isn't hurt. The defense is the one wounded here. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see Jim Caldwell take over.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what happens on Sunday. I don't think this was like a spur of the moment thing. I think this was kind of built. I think that's why Caldwell was even brought in. I think that this was kind of being built from a year or so ago because this is kind of Cam Cameron's MO. If it was actually him, it seems like the Ravens are thinking it is, that this guy can't finish a game, that he can't adapt at halftime and change things up when things aren't working. So I'm going to be very interested to see what happens, and, you know, Jim Caldwell is going to have a big big test coming on Sunday against the Denver Broncos and Peyton Manning, who missed a whole season, but it really doesn't look like he's missed a step out on that football field. So it'll be very interesting to see what's going to happen, but hey, let's not jump too far ahead. Let's go back and let's talk about this past Sunday's game. We've already touched on it a little bit, but Ravens-Redskins, the Battle of Maryland, because, you know, the Redskins don't even play in D.C., and I called it at the beginning. I said, this is going to be a gunfight. This is going to be a showdown. It's going to be like this over and over again. It's going to be touchdown, 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 and it's not going to be a blowout. And last year, if we were up against the Redskins, I probably wouldn't have said that. It would have been a blowout. But this year, I knew it was going to be like this. It was just going to be a complete gunfight. And I think that's what we got. But the ending, I'm really, really shocked about what happened.
I can't believe the total meltdown. You're right. Just looking at the game, I was actually excited. It was like a roller coaster of emotions, just like every game is. But how they just, from the onset, oh, we're not going to be able to stop this run. And then, you know, oh, we're not going to stop them. We're not going to stop them. And then the poise of the offense to come out and match what they did. Okay, well, it's going to be a shootout. And they ran the ball effectively. Ray Rice was just gashing. Both running backs in the first quarter were just unstoppable. I mean, I think Morris had almost 50 yards just in the first quarter alone. And it was just unbelievable to see these two just gashing. And then Bolden and Flacco were on the same page. And I'm telling you, I heard from the postgame report how I think D'Angelo was hurt, so I think they were picking on him a bit. And Bolden was just beating him senseless off the line and getting wide open. And Flacco put a perfect pass in the end zone for a first one right between the two defenders. They were playing, not I'm going to say flawless offensive football, but they were playing very, very great to see. And I was like, great, they're matching because it was a shootout. And then all of a sudden it just settled down to where the defense clamped down. And overall, the ebb and flow of the game, the turning point of the game was, I think, a couple key moments where the Ravens were driving, and it was that one where, again, strip sack fumble, where it's 3rd and 6, and here, I don't know if it's Cameron, this is, again, you know, being that Cameron's gone, and I didn't interject this being a show, I hate to see anybody lose their job, and we wish Cam the best. I mean, he's here 5 years, and I know he's a scapegoat, and he did a great job. I mean, we've been in the playoffs 4 years in a row. We're going on 5, so I wish him well. He's going to find another coaching job. But anyway, we know how we feel about him in Baltimore. It's time for a change. But here's the thing. 3rd and 6, you're going to at least get a few. We're in the red zone at this point. And what he calls a pass play, where I think where it could have been a simple run play would have done, or draw play. Yes, after the fact of the matter is, it led to a fumble, a strip fumble there. So you can't really say, okay, well, if Flacco doesn't throw the ball and he glances off a defender and Fletcher catches it, it's 4th down, we take a field goal burst. But that's where he needs to take the sack. You have not even 2.5, 3 seconds to throw the football. You know they're sending the house on 3rd down and 6. Get rid of the football. That should be, I've actually seen the Patriots do this. It should be a bam-bam play, like hot potato, like I said last week. You need to get the ball in your hands, and that needs to be out in one fluid motion. You know, and Tom Brady did that the other night, where he calls it. It's in shotgun. He gets the ball. And as soon as he gets it, he turns to his left and throws a screen pass to the wide receiver, and Wes Welker takes off 10, 15 yards. The Patriots do that all the time, and it gets on your nerves because it's dink-and-dunk football, but it works because you're beating the blitz. But instead, you sit there in a pocket, and you try to look, look, look. You don't have time to look because you're going to get strip sack or fumble. You got to pay attention, and maybe it's offensive game planning, or you have to call the right play at that point. And the other turning point was I really wouldn't blame this on the call, Brandon. I don't know where your seats were there, and we'll get to that in a minute on what your vantage point was, but the whole fourth quarter, the kickoff fumble, and Dave Reed picking it up and bobbling control. I mean, at the replay show, clearly he didn't really have control, but the first time I actually told somebody, I said, I've never heard the interpretation like that, because it nine times out of ten, usually they don't really review that. It's a turnover. We get the ball, and the game's on ice there. But then here's the thing, Brandon. The team still on defense let him drive 85 yards after that, and there was a crucial third and six penalty. I'm not calling blaming on the calls again, but it's about execution. You have to clamp down. You can't really give them life. And it's just the whole last drive in general where RG3 was running, and he got hit and he got hurt. It just, I was like, oh, yeah, he's done, get out of here. And then all of a sudden, here comes Mr. Cousins, another rookie, and they didn't know what to do, and he makes a perfect pass. I can't fault them because the Ravens should be playing man defense at that point. They're playing a soft zone, and here's the thing. I don't think they're hurting anybody, obviously, because they're all players. And, you know, as a defensive coordinator, this is where I'm going to dump on peas a little bit. You have to be aggressive. Offense, you have to be creative, and defense, you have to be aggressive. Well, Cameron lacked creativity. He's gone. Well, I can tell you right now, Pease ain't going to be our defensive coordinator next year, and I can say with that full confidence, like Madison was. He's not aggressive. When you see a wounded dog back there, you need to send a house. I'd rather him blitz all eight, nine, or all 11 players and get burned. Just send a house. He's wounded. You got it. I mean, come on. You're going to let a gimpy rookie quarterback beat you, and then all of a sudden he finally gets taken out of the game. Then you get a fresh rookie quarterback and beat you on a soft zone. You got to be aggressive at that point. You're holding the lead. I'd rather them lose and be aggressive than just sit back here and rush three or four and just let them pick us apart. I mean, we're not getting pass rush. You're already getting picked apart anyway. It was just a very frustrating, and then to see the quarterback draw, which was, I mean, we just got outplayed on that drive. I mean, the quarterback draw was a perfect scenario because they didn't want to put the game in his hands and have him throw it. I mean, we won on a similar play like that, but see, the Cowboys lost the game like that way weeks prior in October, where they went for two, threw it to Dez Bryant, and it was incomplete. So a simple quarterback draw beat us, and then in even overtime, we couldn't stop on special teams, and we went three and out. And again, the other turning point again, Brandon, was the trade-off. So on field position, we stopped them deep, three and out. They punted, but then we went three and out. We traded another three and out. We just can't be doing that. We could at least got another 3 points there. It's just frustrating.
The game was definitely frustrating. That's a perfect way of saying it.
Yes, sir.
This team did not look like the Ravens at all. I can't even say that anybody on that team did an amazing job. I mean, maybe you can say Bolden had a good day. But
I say Bolden gets game ball.
Yeah, if you're giving out
Bolden
a game ball.
Ray Rice had 101 touchdown, so.
Yeah,
how about that?
If you're giving out game balls, then I agree with that. I would even give one on defense to Paul Kruger. I think he had a good game even without his back flap going. But it was, if you look at special teams, I mean, in overtime, these guys ran that ball into field goal position, and they didn't even have a quarterback anywhere on the field yet. I mean, that was heartbreaking to see. Defense just looked terrible. I mean, if this is who we have going up against the Broncos, this is going to be just a terrible game to watch, because it is just going to kill you going up against Peyton Manning with this defense, because they were throwing, they were running. I mean, they were doing everything, and this defense couldn't stop anyone. Couldn't stop RG3. Couldn't stop any of the other Redskins. They did whatever they wanted. You had this fourth string quarterback. You know, he's on the second string, but he got drafted in the fourth round. He comes in and he looks like he's Peyton Manning. I mean, this guy comes out and he makes a fool of the Ravens. Look at, they go for 2 points, which everyone saw that coming after they got that touchdown. They went for the 2 points, and what did this guy do? He just walked right into the end zone. There was nobody even trying to block this guy. I mean,
embarrassing.
It was absolutely embarrassing, and it was not something fun to see live. It was pretty terrible, to be honest. And
by the way, speaking of live, how were the Skin Fiends?
Let me just say this about Skin Fiends, and I don't like to curse a lot here, but Skin Fiends are assholes. Okay, I can't believe I'm saying that because I actually enjoy the
wow,
fact.
Wow, that didn't even come about Steeler fans, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I would say I at least respect Steeler fans because they aren't bandwagon fans. Because if you put all the threes that are on the back of jerseys there because of RG3, you'd probably have about a 900. Right there, because that's all that you see is RG3 jerseys. The guy, this is a one-man band team. Yeah, all right. I don't even care because I got such ridicule when I was at that stadium. Now I understand Raven fans can be assholes too, and
we
I'm
all
not
can.
Absolutely. And Oriole fans can do that. Yankee fans are.
We all are.
Absolutely.
And fans are so.
Absolutely. Fans support their team, and I'm glad that Redskin fans are filling up that stadium again. I saw plenty of purple, though, so let me tell you, you guys can't even sell out your own stadium. But anyway, I'm just going to say this. The people in front of me were totally cool. They're like, we come from Jersey. We're from the Washington area. We love the Redskins. You got to understand, we're really excited because we finally have somebody who's turned this team around. And I'm like, hey, man, I love RG3. He's super talented. He is fun to watch. And he's a rookie quarterback, so you guys are going to have him for a long, long time. That's awesome. But then once the Ravens got on the field, these guys start attacking Ray Lewis, of course, coming up with he's a convict, which, all right.
Of course, which he's not, so that's not good. There and get me fired up.
Exactly. How many years has this guy been found innocent, okay? I understand he went to jail, and he served his time, but he changed coming out of there, and for another thing, he was freaking innocent. We have guys...
Okay, these are probably the same guys who probably think that Barry Bonds should be in the Hall of Fame, too, I guess.
I guess, all right. I mean, I've always had this fight with how can you be a Ravens fan if you hate Michael Vick, because Michael Vick served his time, and Ray Lewis went to jail too, but Ray Lewis went to jail for about 2 weeks, was found innocent, and those 2 weeks changed his life for the better, and he's a motivational speaker now. All right, I'm not getting into the Michael Vick thing, because everybody knows my stance on that, but let me just say this, all right, after that, the first round of Raven, or Redskin plays, and they get that touchdown, this guy starts screaming, all bandwagon fans need to go out, your bus is ready. All right, since when are Raven fans bandwagon fans? Honestly, it's not like we have a Super Bowl where everybody just got around, you know? We haven't been in the Super Bowl since 2001, so it's not like we just kind of jump on when they're doing well, okay? We've had Joe Flacco for 5 years, so if you started watching the Ravens when Joe Flacco showed up, you've had 5 years experience, all right? I'm thinking these Redskin fans started showing up to the stadium again when they drafted RG3, because nobody wants to ever see a Redskins until this guy. And it wasn't back until 83. So these guys...
I like the fire.
You don't see me like this a lot, man. The only thing that ever happened to FedEx Field between 83 and RG3 is U2. All right? That's the best thing to happen there.
83 and RG3. Let's go. I thought 83... Well, I know 83. There's Interstate 83. I thought that... But that's pretty funny, man.
But these fans were getting on Raven fans so much, and it was unbelievable. Because I understand that you're proud about your team, but you're not going to get in my face and say after the game, Baltimore, get back on your bus. The Baltimore interstate's that way. Because all I have to say is your own town doesn't want you in their city, so they built your stadium in Laurel or Landover. Sorry, Landover.
Oh my God, Landover.
So when this guy comes up to me and says you got to get out of here, punk. You get on the interstate and go back to Baltimore. I'm like, you get on the interstate and go to D.C., dickhead. This is Landover, Maryland. You're in my state, all right?
Love it. Love it.
I
was more fired up at the Pittsburgh loss, but I love it, man.
We're
all frustrated. Two straight losses, I think we're all at our wit's end.
We are.
I'm at my wit's end.
You know, this is something I was not expecting this, okay? I went on a bus trip to the FedEx Field because I wanted to see RG3 and I wanted to see my Ravens, okay? And I went on this bus trip because I was like, all right, well, maybe the whole bus gets a section and it'll be a big group of Raven fans because I wanted to be surrounded by Raven fans because I don't want to be like those 1 to 4 people of fans that like the opposing team. But that's what we were, okay? That's we had seats up top at the 50-yard line. So you know, it was just four of us in a row of Redskin fans. So that was kind of tough to deal with because they were always going after us as this was going on. And I'm fine if you want to make fun and everything, but you got to say with a smile and be like, oh, it's all cool and everything. You can't and you shouldn't be malicious, no matter what team you're supporting. At the Ravens Stadium, they have something that says, hey, don't be a jerk, okay? If somebody else is wearing another team's colors, that's okay. Don't be a jerk. Pretty much the Redskin fans do not care, and they have this sense of entitlement because they have RG3 now that they're the best in the world. Well, this is a rookie season, and we'll see what this guy does. I hope he does well, but Redskin fans, I don't think I would ever go to FedEx Field to see a game again. I don't think I'd ever go to a visiting team stadium again, because this was such a terrible experience. I understand I'm a guest in your house, and when people come to our house, you know, you and I were tailgating and we had some fun with the Raider fans next to us. We were going back and forth.
Raiders sucked though.
Yeah, but we were going back and forth, and we both respected each other, and we both. Everybody involved knew it was football, but these guys were going after people I was with on a personal level.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and everything else. And let me just say, if you are a Redskins fan, I'm not saying this is everybody, because I met some really cool Redskins fans. As I was leaving, this old guy comes up to me, and I'm decked out in Ravens. I got gloves, scarf, jersey. I got purple shoes on. I got everything. And he comes up and shakes my hand and goes, you got to admit, that was a great game. Thanks for coming down. And I was like, that was a great game. It was a great game. That was edge of your seat, and I wanted to see that. I wish it could have been different for me, but I'm glad that you had a good time. And that was great. You know, there's a mutual respect there. But there's other people, the majority of Redskins fans, they want to get in your face, and they want to just scream. And I would have loved to have just, you know, had these guys lose and have these guys, you know, not say all this crap to us. But it was a terrible experience at FedEx Field, and I honestly would not go back there again for a game unless you want to be a part of the majority and wear a Redskins jersey. But let's face it, when RG3 gets old, you won't be the majority if you're in a Redskins jersey, because he'll be retired and no one else will care.
You bring up a good point. I like your fire, because I actually was a little vocal early this week. It's already, I know we're recording a little bit this week Tuesday, but you bring up a great point, man. And I love the passion. I love the fire up, because I've noticed that trend. This is another reason why I would never step foot in Pittsburgh or their stadium, because I probably would get in trouble and end up in jail for some assault charge, because I'd probably just strangle somebody. And I was very, very happy when I went to M&T Bank 2 weeks ago for the Steelers game. There was none around me. The closest Steelers fan was six rows in front of me and seven rows behind me, and every time the Steelers did something good, there was maybe two or three, four towels in each section. You can see them. It was dominant Raven fans, so I was actually happy to see that for one, because I hate it when people come to our stadium. Put it this way, Brandon. There was more Cowboys fans at the Cowboys game in Baltimore than there were Steelers fans. I'm telling you.
Right.
It's funny. Oh, it's America's team. Everybody's bandwagon. I just hate bandwagoners. But here's another thing, and you stick your team through thick and thin. I lit up this woman. I actually called on one of the local radio stations this week, because obviously I always love getting my opinion out there. But she pissed me off pretty well. And this is what she had to say. She said that she was voicing her upset. This was obviously before before Cam got fired. And I think it was Sunday night. And the woman was like, I'm selling my Broncos tickets this Sunday, because I don't want no part of that. And I'm like, here's another bandwagon fans in Baltimore. You're not going to support your team because they suck now. You're just going to sell them. It's almost like the Orioles syndrome, where, yeah, they get 15 years of losing, and then, yeah, you don't go to the games, you don't support games. I've heard fans say, well, I spend money when I'm going to go see a loser and blah, blah, blah. But here's the thing. You know, you don't want all, you know, I'm going to just see, not to turn to a baseball conversation, but I'm very interested to see what happens in the Orioles season this year. Are fans going to actually start showing up because they made the playoffs? And, they're wearing their Orioles playoff gear? Or is it, hey, I bleed orange or black, and I bleed Baltimore, and I'm from here, I'm going to support no matter if they are sucky or not? Well, it's like the Ravens time. Look how spoiled we are. We have a losing streak, and we haven't had one since 2009. We've lost one home game in the last 15 home games 2 years ago. this is how either good the Ravens are, or it shows you how spoiled we are because we have such a good team that we don't know what happens when they lose. We panic. We just push the panic button, like, oh, my God. But you see what the Ravens do when we start losing. They make changes because they obviously see change as a good thing. So I can feel your pain on the fans because I'm tired of these people. Oh, I'm selling my tickets. I'm not going to game. I'm not coming out because they're sucky. Well, what happens when they're 16-0 and they're winning the Super Bowl? You're going to come out and spend money then. I spend money whether losing or not. I'm still going to rant on my podcast and do this podcast with you if they're losing or not. I'm still going to wear my purple and black and support them whether they're losing or not. I'm tired of that. Yes, we can criticize when they lose, and yes, we can praise them when they win, but don't be selling your ticket saying because, oh, you're pissed off at the loss and don't want to go to the game next week. This is one of the biggest regular season games to date I can think of, and this is going to be epic proportions. We get Ray Lewis back. Hopefully we get Suggs back. It's a home game against Peyton. Peyton owns us. It's for playoff positioning. We can win the AFC North this weekend. Fans, we're the 12th man. We're one of the most intimidating stadiums in the NFL. Don't just show up and sell your tickets. I mean, if you want to make a buck, cool, but don't get all mad and sell your tickets because you're mad that the team had an epic collapse on Sunday. That's uncalled for. I want your fan card taken. I'd rather you be a Eagle fan or a Steelers fan and not be a Ravens fan because I don't want you on this fan wagon. I'm tired of that. You know, I'm tired of fans. Yeah, I agree. You know, we all have our flaws, but when it comes to that, support. Just come out, support, and stick by this team. We got a goal in mind. We got three games to go, and I think this team, I wouldn't say a team, but this game this Sunday really got under our skin because obviously our feather's a little ruffled here, and I think we need to get to business on Sunday. Whew.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see. And if people are selling tickets already, I mean, that's kind of crazy given the fact that we're still two games ahead in the division.
Yeah, the Bengals and Steelers lost, people, and they're all like, oh, my God. That's the only thing keeping me sane. Because I tell you what, if the Steelers or the Bengals would have won or both would have won, I'll probably be flipping out a little bit more than I should be. But I keep the course because, look, we have a two-game lead with three games to go. We would have to lose every game after regular season for us to really have basically an epic meltdown. I mean, we were 9-2, now we're 9-3, now we're 9-4. You don't want the losses to stack up, but at the same time, you got your perspective here. We have a new offensive coordinator. The team put up 28 points, and they still play like crap on offense. So you figure, and Flacco had a great first half, but you're right, going back to what you said earlier, this team has been inconsistent. A tale of two halves. They would suck in the first half, and all of a sudden score 50 points in the second half, or score 50 points in the first half, and then do nothing in the second half. Ray Lewis, if you ever watch sound effects for Ray Lewis, he always says, 50 straight times. It's a 60-minute ball game. It's a 60-minute ball game. And even Mike Shanahan said that at his press conference. They played the full 60 minutes and plus some because they went overtime. You've got to play the game till it's triple zeros in the fourth quarter. And if you don't execute your game plan for the whole game, the other team's going to exploit you and beat you. And speaking of beating us, that Peyton Manning owns us on Sunday. And tell you what, the way the Ravens are playing right now, I'm definitely going to have to pick the Broncos. And I'm just going to have to say that because right now, this team isn't showing you, yes, it's at M&T Bank, but until the Ravens actually show they can actually go toe-to-toe and beat them, I'm actually going to, you know, breaking down the Broncos game right now, I'm actually going to throw a prediction out there. I think the Broncos are going to beat us 27-17. Probably more than that.
All right, I'm cooled down a little bit now. So let me just first off by saying again, I'm not saying this is all Redskin fans. Okay, let me just get on that. I met some really cool ones, and I'm glad that there are fans out there supporting the team and doing all of that. I'm glad you got RG3. There were some asshole fans, and they're the ones that got under my skin. And lucky enough, I have a podcast that I can talk about it on. So
hey, that's what we do.
Yeah.
Our forum. Let it rip.
I hope I didn't offend anybody by what I said, but that's what I observed, and that's what I dealt with there that day. So, again, Redskin fans, there are some good ones out there, and I hope you guys keep supporting your team. But this is a Ravens podcast, so let's go back to talking Ravens. It's going to be a scary game on Sunday.
You mean we can't break down how RG3 played? I thought that was a Redskin. Come on, man. RG3, don't you know? I got an RG3 jersey on. He's the greatest gift to football right now.
Let me just say that when people were going after me and people were chanting RG3 in my face after the win, I almost started chanting RG knee. And then starting to walk with a limp, but I thought that was getting.
Oh, that would have been perfect.
I thought that would have been a little bit under my level, but I thought it was funny, but I didn't think anybody else would.
It's always like you want to stoop down or level and have fun, or you just want to be like, whatever. But here's the thing. I think we'll have the last laugh because one more thing about the game is I think we'll make the playoffs and they won't, so they'll be watching us play. How's that?
That's what I like to say. But, hey, you know what? Still upsetting loss on Sunday. Redskin fans, you know, congrats on that. And it pains me to say that, but congrats on that game. It was a hard-fought game. You guys won. But this game on Sunday against the Broncos, I'm worried about this game. This is a game that I thought Peyton Manning wasn't going to make it through this season, okay, because of that neck surgery that he had. I thought he was going to get hit one or two times in the neck and that he was going to be out because, you know, he couldn't hack it. But, you know, to his credit, he's still going and he's really giving a push to the Broncos. They're doing really well. But that defense on Sunday, if that defense comes out like they did against the Redskins, Peyton Manning's going to have an easy day. He's not even going to break a sweat because he is going to just pick these guys apart.
I think he is going to eat us alive. He has owned us in the past, which is, this is why you're going to have to pick Denver in this game. Peyton Manning's Peyton Manning. And though the defense actually shows they can play better, the offense can actually do game plan. Like I said, I'm going to say predictions. Yes, Baltimore, prove me wrong, please. But at the same time, the Denver Broncos are probably one of the hottest football teams in the NFL right now. And it's basically, it is what it is. Between the Patriots and the Broncos, we're going to have a hard time dealing with them at home, especially with the Giants coming in town the week after. It's going to be a big test shot if they're playoff ready. And I think if they showed their playoff ready against Denver, and if they can show it, maybe I'll have more confidence later in going into the playoffs if we can get a 3 seed or we can get a home playoff game. But it, like I said, this all starts on Sunday. It's a one-game season. If they can win on Sunday, I think they can win, but I'm going to predict a loss.
Yeah, I see a loss coming as well. It's just these injuries on defense. There's just too many of them. Even with Ray Lewis coming back, this is his first game. It's quite a test on your first game coming back. Terrell Suggs, he was a game-time decision, and up until the last minute he was playing, and then they decided not to this past Sunday. So again, he's going to be coming off an injury as well. We have Asa Jackson, who's missing, who never got any defense. He had a tackle or two in special teams, but he's suspended for 4 games due to a performance-enhancing drug he tested positive for. But this defense, I mean, if Kruger can get to Peyton Manning, if Helody can get to Peyton Manning, you're going to see a couple sacks, but I think this defense is just going to get eaten up. And now we have on offense, if you're like, oh, well, the defense, you know, they stop the run and everything, but the offense is who scores the points. We've got a new offensive coordinator coming in, and again, who knows what he's going to be calling against this team. He's a guy who's never been an offensive coordinator himself, so it'll be very interesting to see what the offense and defense does. The only thing, even though they had a bad turnout this past Sunday, is special teams. Maybe Jacoby Jones can run back a ball again, or you know, the special teams can actually stop the run coming in the other direction. Would be nice. So everything's pretty much up in the air, but I also see a Denver Broncos win, even though it is the Ravens. I definitely see them winning this game.
It's going to be a horrible game indeed, and hey, if they can pull out the victory, I'm going to be very impressed with this team. If they can come together and really gel as a team and come together as one and play good football around all three phases, offense, defense, special teams, I think it's we could be celebrating a division win on Sunday. I would love for the next year to be, hey, we're division champs, 2 years in a row, 5 straight years in the playoffs. I don't want to be talking about, oh, my God, we got hanging for the elation. Beat the defending champs next week because, well, again, who knows? But this team, again, going back to what we said a couple shows ago, and then we've been narrated the past month, this team has no identity. Now with the change with the offensive coordinators at the helm, they better find that identity quick because with 3 weeks left, no team right now, I'll tell you right now, right, I'm going to admit this, and I admitted this last night, the Texans and New England game, that was an impressive game, and it showed us a lot. We did beat New England here. It was a great game. It was a shootout. I was at that game. But the Patriots, again, have come a long way. They were 1-2 at some point, and they were 3-3. Now they are 10-3. They've won all these games in a row, and they just basically annihilated the Houston Texans. And right now I'm telling you that the Patriots, again, are going to be number one AFC. They're reigning supreme. I'm not really scared about Texans. Yes, the Texans trounced us, but we were without some weapons, and right now, I think it's going to come down to another Ravens, or it's going to have to go through New England. It's going to come down to another Ravens-Patriots showdown. If that, it might be a rematch AFC title game if it gets that far, depending on playoff seeding. But it has to start with home in Baltimore against the Broncos, because Broncos are the second hottest team in the NFL, apart from the Patriots and AFC, and they're very, very red hot. Peyton Manning is on pace to do some good things this year. He's shown us why he's Peyton Manning and why the Broncos signed him and pursued him and why he came back after his neck surgery. And I thought he had a down year, and he proved me wrong. And right now, it's going to be a test. Mr. Flacco is going to learn a lot from number 18 across the way, and he better be taking some notes on Sunday, because the Broncos will be big test for us. And if we pass it, we'll be division champs on Sunday. So let's have it, Ravens. Again, you know, share your enthusiasm with the loss. You know, I hate to say it, but, you know, I'm predicting a loss on paper. Prove me wrong, Baltimore Ravens. Let's go. And let's put a win and get that 10th win on the board. It's been elusive the last couple weeks.
It really has. You know, I don't want to see three losses in a row, but...
Oh, my God. Then we'd be panicking.
Yeah. Everybody would be panicking.
Oh, my God. Yeah, don't even go there. That's scary water.
Yeah, who are they going to fire next week if there's another loss?
We'll be swimming with Jaws next week if that happens.
But
we'll be hearing that music. They'll be eating us.
That's how we'll start the show next week.
Yeah,
if there's another loss.
Just saying if they lose, we'll be... you'll hear that... That shark-infested water music, we'll be in for it.
But
we're going to be in some deep, deep water.
Yeah, exactly. But, hey, you know what? Thanks for listening so far. Of course, you can follow me on Twitter, at Brando Cash. I'm always tweeting about something, and usually it's about hockey or the Ravens, something like that. And it's always a lot of fun to hear you guys and interact with you guys. But if you're on Facebook as well, go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. You can get all the information that you want about the call and about... Any of the other shows in the app, Brando Cash Network. And Josh, you're on Twitter too. Where can people follow you on Twitter to get all your Ravens news?
People can find me on my news, and I definitely won't be tweeting. I'll be selling tickets because I'm keeping them. But you can find me at ItalianGQ52.com, and that's where you'll find all my latest post news. And who knows, maybe we'll be celebrating.
I hope we get to celebrate this week. It's definitely going to be a big test against the Denver Broncos, so I hope the Ravens are up for it. And did we cover everything? I think we got pretty much everything covered in this show.
We got it covered. If not, I think number 20, Ed Reed, he's going to get some.
All right, that's awesome, man. Send us out like you always do. I hope the Ravens have a big win this Sunday against the Denver Broncos, but no matter what, this is a big test for these guys, and I'm interested to see what they do.
I'm going to change it up this week. I feel some Ray Lewis in my inner loins here because he's Mikey coming back Sunday. And I'm going to give a little speech here, but I say, hey, our wings may be broken. We may be down and out, but I think we're going to fly high on Sunday. So let's pull it together, fellas. Let's go.
This has been a production of the At Brando Cash Network.